You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Thanks for listening to the Lakers Fast Break Podcast, part of the Hoopheads Podcast Network. Check out all their awesome basketball shows today at hoopheadspod.com. And we're back with another episode of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. It's Gerald Glasser coming right back at you from Lakers Fast Break. Pop culture, cosmos, inside sports, fantasy football, and game source. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that magical 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, if you could like, share, and please subscribe. We're almost at 500 subscribers on YouTube. So if you can go ahead and give us some love out there by liking what we do, all the videos, so you can get everybody's attention that we're on the air. Subscribe and do whatever it is you can to support us right here at the Lakers Fast Break, Pop Culture Cosmos, Game Source. Of course, the great folks at LakersBall.com. Ox1947 is there roaming the world and realm of LakersBall.com. Go ahead and check out the conversation there today. Plus also as well, you see it on his hat. It is Simblades with a Y.com. If you want a better lawn in the Southern California area than you have today, go ahead and check out Simblades. Simblades with a Y.com. Plus our good friends at LakerHolics.com. Laker Tom said he will be back for Thursday's game. And maybe I'll even have a late night Lakers Fast Break with Jamie Sweet. Those guys are at LakerHolics.com, so go ahead and check out what they're doing today at LakerHolics.com. Our good friends at Hoopheads Podcast Network. And as Sean Grice slams the beer on the table, I think we're all set. Just go ahead and make sure you do all you can to like and subscribe what we do. It is sincerely appreciated. Well, the Lakers, it comes down to 23 games. And good evening, Kenneth. Glad to have you here in the world's best Lakers Fast Break chat that's out there for the Lakers Fast Break. It is 23 games left in the season. It is LeBron James saying that he's going to do everything in his power to go ahead and get the Lakers into a play-in or playoff mix, because these are 23 of the most important regular season games of his career. And as it comes down to it, we've got a new team in place, a new lineup, a new 8 to 10 man rotation in place. Will the Lakers do it? That's what we're going to talk about today. Plus also as well, some of the interesting storylines coming in this part of the post All-Star game season. What are some of those interesting storylines? I know there's one in Phoenix. I know there's one in Dallas. I know there's a lot more as well as far as the interesting storylines. So we'll talk about that. Plus our thoughts on where the Lakers will end up a little bit more. We've done even some more research. We've done even some more thinking about it. How do we think the next few games will hold for the Lakers and what they need to do to go ahead and start out this post All-Star break strong? And here today to talk about it, first man up, first man here You got to go ahead and make sure your lawn is transformed in the Southern California area today like no other, because it's SimBlades that'll do it. SimBlades with a Y.com. It is Joe Soro. And Joe, good to have you here, my friend. It is that time, down to 23 games. It starts tomorrow night. Golden State, they come into the crypt. There's no more fooling around, man. We got to get on a 4 out of 5, 5 out of 7, maybe like a 8 out of 10 game winning streak right there. We've got to start kicking some butt now, or else we can just kiss the season goodbye.
Mm-hmm. I think we've been saying that for 3 months now.
Yeah.
They ended the first half, well, if you can call it first half, before the All-Star break, well, by blowing out a team that had beaten us not too long before then. And they're going to be playing a team that's already a superstar down. To say that this is a must-win, but a should win is an understatement. It's, you got to start this off at home on the right foot, because you're going, what, 3 days, 2 days later, you're going to be going to Dallas and then going to Memphis. And it could be, this next three games could create enough momentum one way or the other on where they're going to end up being. They're likely going to have to win one of those two games in Dallas and Memphis. Obviously, they have to win tomorrow. They go 2-1 the next three games. We can look at that and say, yeah, that's probably what we were expecting. But if they really want to show their stuff, they got to go 3-0. They go 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to probably take them a little bit more seriously on the next game. But every time we've taken them seriously, they retreat. So if LeBron James, barring a catastrophic injury, takes any games off the remaining 23 games, it'll finally be the nail in the coffin in terms of what people are saying versus what they're doing. LeBron has told us the rhetoric before. My advice to him, if I was his agent or manager, is stop talking. Go do the job. Enough talking. We're about over with the talking. Go win the games and don't sit out games that you're not supposed to be sitting down on. And really, at this point, it doesn't matter if they're playing Charlotte or Orlando. You have no business conceding any games the rest of the way. If you're healthy, your butt better be on that floor. And that's just the way it's got to be. 20 years or not, you're still making $40 million a year. If you don't want to play those, if you want to play 60 games a year, then take a pay cut so that we can get somebody to cover the other 22. That's something that the CBA, and we'll get into that later on the show, something that I really want to discuss, because Charles Barkley had mentioned something, and I know Charles usually is, I call him broken clock, because he's wrong pretty much all day, every day, except the two times that the clock just happens to sit on that correct time. So, but he might be right on this one. This might be the broken clock one. It needs to be something where we need to start getting a handle on this. If you think that 82 games is outdated, then your contract needs to be outdated too. And I'll leave it at that.
Also here today to talk about what's going on with the rest of the season, a good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check him out here in a couple days when he hosts his first Magic Man in the Morning. That is Magic Man Sean Grice. Sean, great to have you here. I was just working on your intro here before we went on the air, trying to go ahead and make it more morning themed for you. Your thoughts, though, on what they need to do in these first few games, because they need to come out hot. They need to come out, like Joe said, on a good enough streak that will give them the confidence enough to go ahead and build on that momentum for the rest of the season. I'm hearing varying thoughts on whether the rest of the season is going to be very difficult or very easy. It depends on who you ask, and it depends on which chart or which site you go to. It seems to be varying levels of difficulty as far as for the rest of the season. I just know when you step into Golden State coming to the crypt, then you've got Memphis, And then you've got some other good teams right beyond that. The task out of the All-Star break is not an easy one, but it needs to be done.
Needs to be done, Gerald. Needs to be done. You're right. And Gerald was right, too. You should definitely beat Golden State. And then you play Dallas. Yeah, they have Luka and Kyrie, and they might put one over on you. But I'm with Joe. I don't. You know, if they're serious about this, then if they go 3-0, then they're cooking with gas. That would be showing everybody that he was serious. He was dead serious. I think we could go 3-0, Gerald. But like you said, it's difficult. It's difficult. So beyond those two, Dallas still has a couple of shooters. Josh Green is a very good player, so that's not an easy task. And then Memphis, it's Ja, the wings, and Triple J. That's pretty much their team. They have more talent than we do. I think we give ourselves a shot in the arm against them. But yeah, I'm with Joe. I'm leaning towards just more 2-1, but I really think, like Joe said, if they want to drop their nuts and let everybody know that they're for real, yeah, they need to go 3-0.
Absolutely. I think that they need to start off hot. They need to go really, really, really fast, and they need to start their urgency now if it hasn't started already. Kenneth Stone's in the chat, and he says at least 2-0, lose the third and win the fourth. A 3 out of 4, that's a 750 winning percentage. That at least gets them close to 500. But as I told Kenneth, I understand Darvin Ham's thinking, Joe, that, you know, what he said in the last practice was that the goal is to get to sixth place in the Western Conference, and that's the goal. That's a nice goal. I would start off with just get to 500 ASAP. That's where I'd start first.
Yeah, how about we just start with like a short stack of wins?
Let's just start there and get there as fast as we can to 500, like, and then we can start talking.
You start with the short stack, and then let's move forward. And if you're still hungry, then maybe you go on a little bit of a run. But yeah, I agree, Jerv. Let's start with that.
Joe, what are your thoughts?
They're going to have a chance to play a lot of teams that are ahead of them, just above their heads. Mm-hmm. Going to be able to gain a game on each of those wins, should they get them. And as far as having a goal of getting to sixth, I don't really mind having that goal, because that's pretty much how our brains are thinking as Laker fans. We want to get to number six. Because
they're 3.5 games out of sixth place.
For two reasons, really. Number one, you guarantee yourself in the playoffs, because the play-in to me is not considered a playoff. To me, a play-in is just an extra week of trying to find out which team is less lousy. The six and the three is important, because I believe that Phoenix, once Durant gets back next Wednesday, will likely make a run to that second seed. And then you'll have Denver and Phoenix at the 1 and 2. However, let's say Phoenix gets to 3 and Memphis stays at 2 and then Denver stays at 1. You might be better off not playing Phoenix in the first round. So I'm kind of torn on where I want the Lakers to fall. If they face Phoenix in the first round, they're going to get bounced in 5, maybe 6, if the Lakers are healthy. But then again, we also thought Brooklyn was going to go to the NBA Finals a few years back when they acquired James Harden. However, we're going by what the paper is saying right now. We don't really know that. We have to see what happens to Durant, and we can make that assessment. However, if we do face Memphis or Denver, even though we've had Denver's number, I would prefer to face Memphis, because Memphis has a, how do you say, mental disadvantage in the playoffs. Still young, still mouthing off, even though they haven't won squat. Kind of reminds me of a low-rent Clippers team. Clippers don't talk as much, though, because Kawhi doesn't really talk. Paul George, as long as he, you know, like I said, as long as he has his in his strip clubs, he doesn't really talk either. So you want to kind of gauge gauge. Hey, don't put your hand on your head. That's what cost them the 3-1 lead in 2020. And you don't deny that. That's what happened.
I'm not going to deny that.
Good. Well, hey, they need to hear it.
I just wish it would have been phrased better. That would be.
What do you want me to say? Girly restaurants? Is that more politically correct?
Gentlemen's Club, I think, is the best way to refer.
Look, I've been to those places before. There's no gentleman in there, believe me. The bottom line is we are in a spot that we cannot really predict anything because we have been unpredictable. We have played well and sucked most of the time. That's pretty much how you can phrase the 22-23 NBA season. We have played well in spurts and suck the rest of the time. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that these guys can't play day in and day out. And I don't know if I'm going to expect that the last quarter of the year.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com, and you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block, it's only a serve, it's only a tackle, a run, it's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
Bring me all of the Star Trek all of the time, and I will be an incredibly happy girl. Even if it's terrible. It's like pizza. Bad pizza is still pretty good because it's pizza. Bad Star Trek is still pretty good because it's still Star Trek. That's the way that I look at it.
Just let it sit in the refrigerator for a day and be cold.
That's it. Yep.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Well, LeBron says he's all ready to geared up to play 23. I'd have to see it to believe it. I'll be honest with you. And I think I'll say the same thing for AD as well. I know we hit one of our comments the other day for our predictions on how the Lakers will have to finish out or thought we were going to finish out either from us was a 15-8 or 16-7. Somebody said 8-15 because they had no inclination of expecting AD to finish out the games. They thought he was going to get hurt, which I can't say I say is unreasonable. I can't say that's not something you might not expect because right now, Sean, you know, until that New Orleans game, we thought he was looking hurt. Now, maybe with a week off, he's going to feel a lot better, but this is Anthony Davis. And the last 23 games not only could be a predictor for the future of this current Lakers team and roster, but also, as a side note, could be a precursor, as we love on this, you know, that word so much on this show, a future for Anthony Davis on the Lakers, or maybe not on the Lakers as well.
Yes, Gerald, I want to talk about the second part there, maybe not on the Lakers. Look, man, I'm gonna double down. I'm going to triple down on what we were talking about.
Okay.
He's been dealing with that foot injury since 2020. And I'm telling you, Gerald, we both see it. It's bothering him. And it's going to linger. I think it will linger, unfortunately, because I don't think he's... Like, we know it's the body type, it's the chutzpah. He can't stay healthy. There hasn't been a period in his career where he's gone more than 8 weeks without suffering some kind of either a knick-knack injury or something a little more serious, but not necessarily severe. I mean, he can chug along for about two and a half months, and then it eventually happens. So I think that's just going to follow him for the rest of his career, unfortunately, because it's just become a pattern with him. Now he could still drop, you know, 27, 12, 4, and 3.5 in 36, 38 minutes when he's properly motivated, when he's got what he feels like is good chemistry out in the court and reliable defenders. But, you know, he's a strange cat in the sense that it seemed like, just to me, Gerald, it seems like when he won that championship, it seemed like he was satisfied, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It seemed like some guys are just, they're happy when they just win one. They get that one. And that's kind of what I got from him. I don't see the same intensity. I don't see the same ferocity when he's meeting people at the rim.
For a little while earlier this year.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And then unfortunately he got hurt, and I'm not sure if there's a correlation between the two where he's injured, he comes back and he doesn't necessarily want to go at 100 to start out with, and he's just pacing himself. I'm not sure what it is, but it's difficult for me to picture him and LeBron playing together for longer than maybe one more season, especially given these patterns. And let's face it, Gerald, would it really be that shocking if he was traded in the summer?
No,
it wouldn't be a shock. I think it would be more shocking.
Well, let's say if the Lakers do what we're hoping that they're going to do, they go 16-7 or, you know, 15-8, or they go, you know, maybe what Laker Tom would probably say, 20-3, and they go and they get into the playoffs, they make a strong run, they get into like the second round of the playoffs, and things are looking good for the end of the season. They go out maybe in six games or whatnot to whoever it is in the second round. But AD is very dominant and he's playing up to his capabilities. Then it's harder to go ahead and ask for a trade. But that is a very small likelihood that will happen. And if that's the case, I think they should keep their options open. Will they? Again, we're dealing with the same front office that has been inept for the most part until this past 2 weeks for about the last two seasons. So I have to see it to believe it with them. But I would definitely, as Joe has said, we gave, and he promised, and he told me, and he convinced me to give AD one season. But during the season, it's been all over the place, from him playing like an MVP to him being injured and coming back and looking like he's hurt. You know, we can't go through this roller coaster, like you said, Sean, not much longer. I think it's in their best interest, whatever situation that comes out of it as far as the next 23 games, to at least evaluate and look at the possibility, Joe, of an AD trade this summer. Just look at it. I'm just saying look at it. Like Kenneth, I'm just saying look at it.
I think we've looked at it already. I think there would be something legitimate.
I think the front office should look at it.
The front office has to look at it, because you want to commit to a LeBron era of winning titles. You have to go and you have to give that a shot. Or you might think there's nothing that's going to come in return for AD to warrant a trade. Therefore, you're better off taking a chance going at it again the following year. You might think you have a better chance doing it that way than the other way. That's going to be an assessment that Rob and Jeannie and the crew need to figure out. I don't know which way to go on that one. I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't know. They would have to have a haul. They would have to have a haul that would make sense. The way Rob made his deadline trade, I was surprised at how they did commit to that no contracts beyond the end of this season.
Well, look what you got for KD. I mean, KD got a lot back in return for a 34-year-old player who is coming off some major injuries of his own.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. But I think a lot of that's going to come down to what team would be willing to, what team is willing to give sufficient draft capital and sufficient talent, thinking that an AD 50 game a year player and hopefully plays the playoffs can fetch them a championship. The only team I know that comes out at the top of my head is Philly. It's still Philly. We would only really get back one, in my opinion, future really, really, really good player. And then you'd have to take Tobias Harris's contract and then obviously get some draft capital. I think
AD, I would ask OKC. That would be my first call.
OKC has draft capital, right? So
he has good players.
And good players, but why would they do that? Why would they do that for AD? They're not going to win a championship with Shai Gilgeous and AD unless they get Victor Wembanyama. Then maybe with those three, I mean, don't you think they'd still need a year or so to go after it? Maybe. I don't know.
They could trade three or four first round draft picks and still have.
Yeah, but this is first round. This is still not. Look, we're not. The NBA, I know that this first-round draft picks became such a huge thing this recently.
You would get back a Chet Holmgren. If they get back like a, maybe even a Jalen Williams.
Yeah, you think they would trade? Okay, if they had the first overall pick, they might consider trading Chet. At least that's what I think. But we're not going to know that until May anyways.
We're just theorizing.
Daryl Morey wrote a great essay about this very topic, and he talked about how in baseball you need to look at the draft as salmon. There are so many salmon in a river to pick your spots. When it comes to the NBA and first round draft picks, it's more like a herd of elephants.
It's rare. It's a scenario only if this last 23 games. I think that's why this 23
right,
games
is so, right.
It's not only the most important regular season games of LeBron's career. I think we're overlooking the fact, and all these other shows are overlooking the fact, that these are also the most important regular season games, 23 regular season games for Anthony Davis as well. And not only that, D'Angelo Russell, he's playing for a new contract. A lot of those guys are playing for a new contract. So it's also, for them, 23 of the most important games of their regular season career as well. So, I mean, it points to a lot of factors. The urgency is now there. If all of them understand the situation that they're now in, it's not just about the Lakers. Even if they don't care about the Lakers and they don't care about the Lakers getting the playoffs or play-in, it's about their future as far as what they want to do as players and how much money they want to make and who, you know, what teams they want to play for. They won't be able to dictate that unless they play well these next 23 games.
100%, Gerald. 100%. And if they know their history and of LeBron, there's been no greater influence in free agency to get guys paid than LeBron, more than Shaq, more than Wilt, more than, and we're talking about scale here because obviously they didn't make what they're making now, but I'm just talking in the greater sense of who benefits the most off playing with LeBron. Well, anybody who is a shooter, basically. I think the last numbers were that teammates of LeBron who entered free agency from, I think, about 06 to 17 made a ridiculous amount of money. It's like $414 million. So Malik Beasley, D'Lo, Jared Vanderbilt, I think they're all mature enough to understand who they're playing with, Gerald, and why they need to be on their best behavior, dot their I's and cross their T's, be on their best P's and Q's, especially on the court, to prove yourself. And, you know, more than likely, at least two of those guys will probably do it. I'm hoping all three of them do, but there's an emphasis to entering free agency knowing you're playing with the LeBron James, who's going to get you the ball in your sweet spots. It's up to you to make it happen.
It's up to you indeed, but we're here at the Lakers Fast Break. We're going to go ahead and talk about some of the storylines, Joe, before we go ahead and conclude today's show, and some of the storylines here in the NBA, not only with the Lakers and their urgency for the next 23 games, but also as well for the final games, as well as some of these teams making recent changes that have to come together quickly. We're talking about Dallas that we're going to be seeing here in a few games. That's going to be with Kyrie and Luka, and they've not been off to the greatest start defensively, because right now they're very defensively challenged, and it's led to a few losses here and there as well since Kyrie's come on. But also in Phoenix, because like you mentioned, Kevin Durant is expected to return next Wednesday, a week from today, against Charlotte. And that team has to mesh together, and because there's a lot of big things expected for them. Your thoughts on how the West will shake out these next 20 or so games?
I think Denver is the only sure bet to finish as a one seed. Mm-hmm. Seem to be.
I think they're too far ahead.
Yeah, they're far ahead, and they're healthy enough. And Jokic might be winning his third MVP in a row, which how do you fault that? But I just feel like I watched Kobe Bryant be a second seed a few times during MVP type seasons, and he wasn't even close to winning an MVP. I don't know. I'm sorry. I know Jokic is talented, but I'm not. I have never, as a viewer, as a person who's watched basketball as long as I have been, I've never feared Jokic in any capacity. And to me, there's got to be a level of fear when you play someone. There was a level of fear when you played against Allen Iverson. There was a level of fear when you watched Michael Jordan play against your team. There was the true MVPs. I don't know how that's going to play out in terms of the West altogether, but I'd say Denver is going to be there. Memphis is going to do their thing. Phoenix, I know they're saying plug and play with Durant. Yeah, probably. But how long will that last? That's going to be a flip of the coin. I don't know. I don't really know what's going on there. The West is so wide open, you might as well just call it the Wild West Conference. You really can't call that the Wild West Conference.
And the Clippers have been on a run just before the All-Star break. And I know we're all happy about Russell Westbrook potentially destroying the Clippers.
Oh, it was probably the best news I heard in a while since the trade. Watching Russell Westbrook absolutely implode that team is going to just be beautiful. And I'm just hoping the Lakers can get a couple wins here against them, though. The West is going to likely shape up the way it's supposed to, at least the top half, with interchanging there. What happens on the bottom half? Geez, I don't know. I don't know where that will go at the moment. I'll need another week to kind of assess that.
Also here today to talk about the rest of the season for the Lakers and for the NBA, good man indeed. You got to go ahead and check out his awesome YouTube channel today, the John McCallion channel. He just recently had yesterday a great stream talking about all the things going on within the world of course, Uber Eats and all the other gig work that's all available. So I know that you're extremely thrilled right now. I saw the title of it and was watching a few minutes. And I'm like, oh, time for change, my friend. But he does provide a lot of great videos for introspective for that people need to go ahead and watch. It is John McCallion. John, great to have you here, my friend. Good to have you back live and in living color. I want to ask you, though, before we get into your thoughts on the NBA, let's talk about the Lakers real quick. You know there's 23 games left. You know LeBron has talked about his sense of urgency and how he's going to be available for all these games, et cetera, et cetera. Darvin Ham at today's practice talking about sixth place is the target goal for us and all that and what the Lakers have to do. What are your realistic thoughts about how far this Lakers team can get for the rest of the season?
Yeah, what's going on, everyone? First and foremost, I know me being on here is Joe's worst nightmare, but
keep it nice, kids.
I'm the nightmare. You don't scare me. You never will.
Okay, whatever. I hope you sleep better at night. But Darvin
sleep
Ham.
Very well. And I sleep very well at night.
That's good to know. Thanks for letting us know. Yeah, so Darvin Ham and, I mean, everyone who is on the Lakers side, they're saying whatever they're supposed to say, right? They're not going to be like, you know what? Season's over. We're packing our bags and going home. So, you know, what really I find admirable is Darvin Ham saying that we're not only playing for play-in, but we're also playing for the sixth seed. And I thought that was cute because they barely have a chance to make the play-in. But I don't know. One of the things that you know, I was thinking about is that if they don't make the play-in this season, do they just kind of blow the whole thing up and start over again next season, or do they bring everyone back?
Well, we were talking about AD as being a – if that happens, AD, the likelihood of AD being a trade – or at least the thought of him being a trade target increases substantially if it doesn't work out.
Yeah, I could see AD being shopped around in the offseason. But again, I don't think they'll trade him unless AD asks for a trade or unless they talk to him about it and he says okay. Because Lakers have a track history of, you know, really working with their stars and making them feel good and, you know, treating them right, quote unquote. So I think AD has to have some type of approval if they're going to shop him around this offseason. I don't. It's a tough position. You know, I hope they do make the play and make a, you know, somewhat of a run in the playoffs. But it's all going to come down to, you know, how far LeBron and AD can carry this team, because, you know, they have a roster now. They have, you know, they're a lot deeper than they were before the trade deadline. But again, it all comes down to LeBron and AD.
As always, my friend, that's true. I mean, they've got to be on the court. If they're not on the court, we have zippo chance. I don't care what new acquisitions that Rob Pelinka made, you know, if it comes down to it, you know, we saw them win without one of them, but yeah, I don't see it lasting very long. If, you know, AD gets hurt again, or LeBron has to sit out a couple games, it's not going to be a pretty sight. And I don't think they'll get, you know, to even 500 if that's the case.
Do you think Will Barton will be a good buyout or candidate?
You know, we talked about that on last night's show. There's a reason why a guy that's a career 43% shooter was put on waivers, was bought out on his contract. And that's because defensively he has lost a step, some say a step and a half. So if he's just spotting up for you, maybe 10 minutes a game as someone who could be a threat. But outside of that, I mean, really, who does he supersede in the rotation? That's what I would ask. So we get him. So we bring him in. Do you want to put him ahead of Reeves?
No.
Do you want to put him ahead of Walker? I guess maybe Walker, because Walker's so far down on the depth chart that now he's like, you know, they should have moved him because he's now almost just, you know, gathering dust at this point in time. He's there for a minimal amount of minutes and that's it. So I really, does that help you if he's in there 5-10 minutes a game? I don't know. It just, if you bring him in, what purpose will he serve other than just being like the backup to the backup, like, you know, keeping Wendy and Gabriel company at this point in time?
I think Wendy Gabriel's even getting more minutes than Will Barton would get.
Now the Bamba's here, who knows?
That's true.
And Vanderbilt, as we've talked about, is like a much more talented version of Wendy and Gabriel that he provides.
He's so good.
Yeah, he can play make, he can rebound and actually play defense at different positions instead of just sticking at the five. I know Gabriel, when he started out in the league, he was playing all over the place and switching all over the place, but then they realized that's not could be his forte.
And you know, Gerald, we heard, you know, when you get him in the post, you can kind of cook him. Like, I didn't see Brandon Ingram cooking him in the post. I saw him holding his own against him.
I know. I agree. But catching up to speed with the rest of us, John, your thoughts on the rest of the NBA or the Western Conference? Any storyline that you're seeing, does it stick out to you as something you're interested in, you know, as far as, oh, that's got to be a major key as far as a through line for the rest of the season?
I'm sure you guys have already heard all the banter that's been going around with Pat Bev signing with Chicago and saying that he wants revenge and all this stuff. I was actually listening to ESPN radio this morning, and I think they hit it right the nail on the head because they said, you know, Pat Bev has already done his part. He's one of the reasons why the Lakers are in this position, because, you know, he didn't play well. And, you know, it's one of the reasons why, you know, they're at risk of not making the playoffs. So, you know, to me, that's mildly interesting. But when I look around the NBA, I think the Boston situation is interesting as much as it hurts me. Joe Mazzulla, he's a new head coach. He's no longer interim. So, you know, good for him.
Same thing with Jacques Vaughn in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's always nice to see those coaches that, you know, work their tail off. And just because they're not a big name sometimes, you know, they don't get the permanent role. But it's nice to see these young coaches get the permanent role. The West is a lot more clustered than I thought. I think that's why the Lakers have a chance of making a play in this season. But other than that, no, nothing really, you know, strikes or piques my interest.
So we talked about on last night's show, Joe and Elrod predicted 15-8. Sean and I predicted 16-7. What are your thoughts on a realistic prediction for the next 23 games for the Los Angeles Lakers?
I don't know, man. I don't know if LeBron's healthy. I think AD is closer to being healthy than LeBron is. But thing is with AD, now that he's, you know, somewhat recovered from his injury, I think it's all in his head. He's worried that if he plays again, he's going to get hurt again, and that's messing with his mental. So he doesn't look like himself out there. I don't know what else he's got going in his head, because, you know, we saw him sit down whenever LeBron broke Kareem's record. Okay, I would say 15-8 if all goes well. I mean, everything has to go right.
Wow, Joe and Elrod. All right.
Yeah, I'm comfortable with that.
Okay, there you go. So 15-8, 16-7, those seem to be the numbers. Although actually somebody did pick 8 and 15. So, you know, that's, they're expecting AD to get hurt. But
10 games over.
Yes. We did actually have someone pick 17-6 as a number as well, thinking very optimistically. Okay. So I will say, though, that I think that the Lakers do need to make sure that they come out of the gate strong. These next three games, like Joe was talking about, very important, Sean. So before we go for tonight's show, I want to go ahead, Sean, and again, please let me know what the Lakers need to do rotation-wise. Bamba's now in the mix as far as it's concerned. A lot of people are excited about him. I know Kenneth Stone was talking about him. Should we potentially see more minutes for him and AD together in the lineup?
Yes, Gerald, I would definitely like to see more minutes with them together. I'm just trying to remember. I forget off the top of my head what their ratings were, but they weren't inefficient at all. You know, there were some spotty possessions here and there, but for the most part, I thought they were just trying to learn off one another, and Bamba more leaning on AD to try and, you know, help direct them around the paint as a rim deterrent. You know, if I was him, Gerald, I would try and keep the same rotations that he did last time. I mean, just, it was peanut butter and jelly for, you know, about 30, 35 minutes. And then, you know, you let the Pelicans come back here and there, but for the most part, your guys played hard in the roles that they were in. And we keep talking about it, Gerald, until we're blue in the face. He's got to stagger AD and LeBron's minutes. I don't like the idea of one of them and both of them being off the court. And, you know, look, Schroeder's a pretty decent point guard. But I just, you know, Gerald, there's 23 games left. If they want to make a push, they've got to stagger the minutes and make sure at least one of them is on the court at all times.
Something we've been talking about for weeks here at the Lakers Fast Break. LeBron and AD, one of them needs to be there on the floor at all times to make sure that the offense flows correctly and well.
We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break podcast.
Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com.
Joe, that's something I think that they should at least try a little bit, is Bamba and AD at some point in time during the game. I know Bamba did not have the most impressive of debuts, got in foul trouble early, looked a little bit nervous and shaky. I'm going to pass a little bit off on that, but also as well, he's not, he's still showing some of the things that he showed in Orlando, which is why he never was able to break out in Orlando. But your thoughts, I think that if he plays alongside AD, even if for a 5-10 minute span, we can at least get a better idea if those two can play together. He was doing a little bit of that in Orlando with Wendell Carter Jr. I think he can do a lot of that with AD if given the chance.
Darvin Ham hasn't shown the ability to run a consistent lineup for a 48-minute game. Sure. It's staggering of LeBron and AD out at the same time is enough proof to show you that he doesn't know how to interchange his offense with one leading or one not leading.
That's a great point, Joe.
It's not, it pains me to say this as an observer, someone who's never coached in the NBA or played in the NBA. I don't understand how an observer in the middle of nowhere understands this, and a lot of people out there understand it, but this guy doesn't. Other than the usual issue with a lot of these coaches, which is stubbornness. Now I'm going to do a little Sean verbiage here. Sean likes to bring past stuff in. As Chuck Noll used to say, it's only stubbornness if you're wrong. If you're right, it's not stubbornness, it's doing the right thing. He is being stubborn because he can't seem to let, at least that's my observation, can't seem to understand basic concepts of why to do A or B. It's just not there. He doesn't have the ability, at least not right now. I don't know how that would change after next year. You could have said that there was a level of talent that wasn't there. Yes, to some degree, but he also made very bad decisions in close games. Bad coaching loses close games. Players that don't have the killer instinct loses games, and we had a combination of both. So I don't see at this moment, as of February 22nd, 2023, I don't see Darvin Ham as the correct coach for this team, even if you keep this team intact. Meaning you sign Beasley, you sign Russell, and you sign Vanderbilt, which I would be in total support of because you have now three mid-20 players hitting their prime and understand their roles, and they have a talent that is desperately needed with a AD and LeBron-esque team. But we're not being led by the right guy again. We would have been better off keeping Frank Vogel. At least we would have known that Frank Vogel would have been able to coach this particular roster the right way on one side of the floor, which would have been fine because LeBron James' offense is pretty basic. It's LeBron controlling the tempo. AD, you can get away with not having a sophisticated offensive scheme when you have two talented players like that and, of course, guys that can shoot the ball. But they made a major mistake making, and this is, again, back to why we were blaming Rob and Jeannie, and rightfully so, because they did make a bad decision there. You had a coach who won you a championship, and you fired him a year and a half out of that championship. That doesn't make any sense. Why? Because he made Russell Westbrook angry? A dead ant makes Russell Westbrook angry. Okay? That should never be the barometer for anything, ever. And the Clippers are going to find out how angry they're going to be after he implodes that entire organization again this year. So I have confidence that AD and LeBron can win when they're on the court because they've done it, and they've done it at the ultimate level, which means they've won the last game of the year. And we know that the young guys that they got can ball and they can shoot. So now it's all really on. I mean, Rob did his job. All LeBron and AD have to do is show up and play. And then, of course, you know the young guys are going to do it because they have to. They have a contract coming up here. They're going to play hard. Now we're going to find out how good Darvin Ham is with this new team and if he can lay off his stubbornness, which is what I think has ultimately been the problem from the coaching standpoint.
Once again, it's the Lakers Fast Break. We're previewing the post All-Star break run for the Los Angeles Lakers. John, before we head on out, you know, what do they need to do in these first 10 games? We already talked about what they can do 15-8, 16-7, we think they can do. What do they need to do? Because these first 10 games are critical because, you know, when it comes to games 15, 20, 22, 23, we already know pretty much where the Lakers will stand at that point in time in the Western Conference. What do they need to do in these next 10 games to assure themselves a place, you know, in competitiveness in the Western Conference?
Yeah, that's $1 million question right there, right? I know that they don't have a lot of time because they only have 23 games left with basically replacing half their roster, you know, towards the tail end of the season. In my opinion, I think they really need to learn each other's tendencies because once they do that, they'll be able to move the ball a lot better and they'll be able to get more guys involved because one of the things when it comes to basketball, regardless if you're in the NBA or if you're playing, you know, pick up basketball on the court, if most of the players don't touch the ball, then they're not going to be interested. So I think, you know, with D'Angelo running the ball or even LeBron, just learning each other's tendencies, you know, just getting comfortable with each other. I think if they can get comfortable with each other the next few games, it seems like they already have the chemistry, which is good. If they can build on that, I think, you know, they'll see some success.
Sean, these next 10 games are all potential playoff teams. Golden State, Dallas, Memphis, Oklahoma City, Minnesota, mm-hmm. Golden State one more time, mm-hmm. Memphis, Toronto, New York, and New Orleans. Your thoughts on this, my friend? It gets easier after they get over that hump, but I think they need to go 7-10 to send a message to the NBA.
Yeah, I agree, Gerald. I agree. 7-3 over the next 10, yes.
Because it gets a lot easier in that next 13 games.
Yes, it does. You know, even though Steph's going to be back in a week, I think with the squad you got, it should be a squad goal that you should win those two games. You could split Memphis. That's 3 out of 4. And then, yeah, I can see them winning 4 of those next 6. You play the Raptors, you play the Knicks, you play the Pelicans, you play the Mavs. I could definitely see them going on a roll there. But, yeah, it starts with tomorrow night. Like I said, man, I really think if LeBron's dead serious about what he said, I'm expecting him to punch them in the mouth hard, real hard. And, you know, that's tone setter. Sometimes tone setters are necessary, right? I mean, unfortunately, we saw what happened last year after the All-Star break, man. We went 9-25. We were just circling the drain 2 weeks after that break. That can't happen this time. You have to set the tone from the jump, right from the start. Pop them hard, and you're gonna show everybody that, yeah, we can't take them lightly tonight. You know, like, this is a whole new crew LeBron's got. We can't take them lightly.
No, we can't at all. And Joe, like I said, the next 10 games, it's going to be that's going to be the tough stretch for the Lakers. I mean, winning is the focus, Darvin Ham says, for the Lakers rest of the way. Should have been the focus the entire way, but okay. Notwithstanding, the next 10 games are going to be the test for us. That is our season, is the next 10 games, I believe.
No, the focus was there. It's just they couldn't execute it because you've had issues with creating plays that can allow certain players to get separation to an open shot. When your lead guy seems to want to pass mainly on last second shots. As a coach, if you have a player that doesn't want to take the last shot, then you need to start practicing creating plays to open up an open shot. I feel like an idiot saying this, to a bunch of professional coaches in the highest league in the planet. But that's the stuff that we've watched and that we hadn't seen a lot of. Now, the sad thing about the most recent last-minute games, losses, wins, whatever, mainly losses, was the one time LeBron went to the hole, he got hacked, and no call was made. Now, that's understandable. You tried. It didn't work. But we should have been doing that earlier, and that likely wouldn't have hurt as much. These losses hurt more and more as we get deeper into this. Those losses wouldn't hurt as much if you were winning the games you're supposed to. You have supposedly the best players on your team. You need to use those guys. That's what we're used to seeing. Great players make great plays at the end of the game to win the games. Great coaches or good coaches set the table for them so they can win. If you can't set the table for LeBron or AD, then what are you there for? To give Newt Rockne speeches? I don't give a rat's behind about talk. Matter of fact, I would prefer not to listen to any of them talk. And I don't really watch the pre and post game stuff anymore. Those guys are obligated to take those interviews because of the league rules, which I get it, but I don't need to listen to it either. And my hope has been the last decade that if I didn't watch it enough, they'd stop doing it. But I don't think I mean anything to them, so it doesn't matter.
Well, and Marshawn Lynch used that line already, so nobody can really use it again.
This is true.
I'm sure, so I won't be fine.
Well, it's like one of the title to one of the most recent John McCallion videos on his channel. What do you want your legacy to be? Right there.
Nice tie in there.
Yes. So before we head on out, I have one last question I want to pose to you guys, and I'll start with you first, Sean. There's one key player for the rest of the season for the Los Angeles Lakers to get it done. Who do you think that is?
I guess we're going to have to go with the man of the hour. It's going to be LeBron James. He's a captain of the ship here. So this is Captain Ahab going after the white whale. So he's either going to get the whale or we're going to go down with the ship, Gerald. So you say it's LeBron. You got a new batch of recruits. You got guys who can actually ball with you now. All three of those guys can play with you in transition. D'Lo's become a much better shooter in the half court. Malik Beasley's, we've seen how hot he can get. So, I mean, to me, it's a situation, Gerald, where he doesn't need to score 30 every night now. Well, like, we needed him to score 30 just to be competitive in most games. Now he can drop 25, 10 and 12 all day, and I think we'll win a lot of games.
John, I want to ask you the same question, my friend. If there's one player you think that should be the key to Lakers' next 23 games, who would that be?
I think AD's the wild card, because if LeBron's healthy or healthy-ish, we know what we're going to get from him. But AD, I mean, I think he's relatively healthy now. I don't know if he'd still be playing if his foot was still bothering. Maybe it still is. But I think for him, it's mostly just mentally. He just got to play the way that he did those earlier in the season, where he was having 40, 50, 55 point games. And, if that happens, then, we're virtually unstoppable, given, if LeBron, everyone else healthy as well.
Joe, we heard it from John being AD. We heard it from Sean being LeBron. Your thoughts on who the key player is for the Lakers for the rest of the season?
The tiebreaker.
The key player for the next 23 games?
Yes.
There isn't a key player. It's,
well, if you had to focus on one, the key. Come on.
There's no key. If AD's out, you're screwed. If LeBron is out, you're screwed. If Darvin Ham keeps coaching the way he's doing, we're screwed. This is a team issue. This is a team issue. And if they don't play together and they're not playing every game the rest of the way, there's no margin of error. It's like this. They have to all play. If D'Lo sucks the next 23 games, they're not making the playoffs. Simple as that. Even if LeBron and AD are playing well, they're still not going to they're not going to make it. They have no margin of error. This team has to play healthy the rest of the way and focused. If you stay, take one, even if you're taking a day off, even if you're taking a day off, okay, on a crappy team, you're done. You're going to destroy your momentum and go the way you need to go.
I still think AD is probably the key to me because, again, his health is a paramount and it's such a big question mark from day to day, game to game. Every time he falls on the floor, we're just like, is this the moment? Is this the time? So we'll see what happens. But you're right. You know, if LeBron or AD are out any length of time, you could pretty much kiss it goodbye. But also these Lakers, the rest of these Lakers, like we've mentioned, D'Angelo, Malik, you know, as far as the, let's go for Jerry, even Jared Vanderbilt to an extent, you know, all these players have something to play for. In the case of Jared, he does have his contract as far as guaranteed for next season at a very small rate, which the Lakers absolutely love. But, you know, Beasley, he's playing for a new contract. D'Angelo, he's playing for potentially a $30 million a year contract, you know, hoping to get signed like that, hoping to be valued above what even Jalen Brunson got in the open market, which I don't think he'll get, but you never know. In the next 23 games, it's the eye of the beholder. So if that's the case, a lot of these guys have something to prove, and that's something I think that's got to be a through line as far as all these players, even Mo Bamba. Mo Bamba has to play like he's worth something, unless, you know, if he doesn't, then the Lakers have an easy what? They don't have a, it's not a full, they don't have to, there's a small buyout, I think, involved as far as Mo Bamba's concerned, but they can get rid of his contract and let him go real easily in the summer if they want to. So, you know, if that's the case, a lot of these players have something to prove, and if they don't get it done in the next 23 games, there could be some massive changes in store, so. That's what we're looking for. But John, any last thoughts before we head on out?
Hold tight because it's going to be a, it looks like it's going to be a nail biter, assuming everyone stays healthy. That's a big if.
Yeah. That's, these first 10 games are key. Absolutely key. If you look at the schedule, again, all of these next 10 games are playing against an opponent that has the same kind of incentive for the playoffs that the Lakers do. Joe, any last thoughts before we end and out?
Sit in front on the roller coaster.
Yeah.
If something, when it comes off, you're the first to die. You don't have to worry about watching anybody else die in front of you.
And I just watched the new Tron Cycle coaster the other day at Disney World, and from the front. So I was like, okay, yeah, just got that image as you were saying that. Okay.
See?
I just fall off the Tron light cycle and there I go, I get derezzed. But Zangerstein back here as well. Sovereign, hope you're feeling better. Thanks so much to everybody as part of being part of the chat today. Great chat, the best Lakers chat is out there. Search and Destroy, Terrence, Kenneth Stone, Blue Magic, Daniel, great conversation today. We're gonna try and be on late tonight. Jamie has asked again to be on Lakers late night tonight, so if you guys want to join us for more conversation, you guys up there, John and Joe, if you want to join me for a midnight conversation, because I guess he's working the stage tonight, he's working a show, so he said after I go and perform, get off the stage and then come right here to the Lakers Fast Break. So, and then the Magic Man in the Morning is coming up on Friday morning from what I hear. And of course, our post game is tomorrow after a playback.tv/Lakers Fast Break live watch party at 7 p.m. So join us for that. And then the best post game in town, of course, is right here at the Lakers Fast Break Podcast.